And she said, it's okay to have that in the back of your mind. But if your only measure of success is I qualified for Boston or I didn't qualify for Boston, like that's way too much pressure.
DizRens Radio episode 507 starts in 3, 2. Welcome back to DizRens Radio, where I talk with runners from all corners of the running world about running, life, and everything in between. I'm your host, Denny Cray, and it's just about time to head out the door for an easy run and a great conversation. So if you're ready, then I'm ready. Let's get started. Hey guys, today's episode of the show is brought to you by the good folks over at Health IQ. As a reminder, I mean, we've been talking about Health IQ quite a bit of late here, and that's because, you know, the year's winding down and it's a good time, a good opportunity to just kind of double check the financials a little bit. And, you know, again, Health IQ, what they do, in case you're not aware, haven't heard yet, they're a company that works with life insurance providers to help get good rates for life insurance, you know, save a little bit of money on the premiums for folks who are proactive towards their health, for runners, for triathletes, for yogis, for anybody who does proactive steps to be healthier. And so if that's you, and because you're a listener of this show, I'm going to assume that it's probably that you probably fall into that category. You may be eligible to get some discounted rates on life insurance if that's something that you need to add to your portfolio here in, you know, as the new year starts to approach. Obviously you can do this any time of year, but with the new year coming, maybe it's a good time to kind of reflect back, go, you know, if something were to happen. Not a joyful topic, of course, but if something were to happen, am I covered? And if you feel like you might need a little bit more coverage or your loved ones might need a little more coverage, healthiq.com/dizruns is the place to go to get a quote, to find out if you're eligible, and take the next step in the process. Instead of shopping around to other companies by themselves, this is the place to go to get the best rate on life insurance. So thanks once again to healthiq.com for sponsoring today's episode. And again, healthiq.com/dizruns, or just tell the agent if you're talking to somebody that you heard about it here on DizRuns Radio, and we'll still get credit. But double check your coverage, double check what you need. And if you need some more, Health IQ is the place to go. And now, without any further ado, let's get on with today's episode of the show. Hey guys, today we are wrapping up another month of round two interviews with a woman that has had a pretty darn good year in 2017. Coming into the start of the year, her goal was to do everything she could to give herself a chance to qualify for Boston. And now as 2017 is winding down, not only did she do the work necessary to give herself a chance, but she had two marathon PRs and an elusive BQ at her November marathon as well. So needless to say, we'll be talking a little bit about that journey from I don't know to I did it as it relates to qualifying for Boston. And without any further ado, it is definitely a pleasure to welcome Ms. Jen Walton back to the show. So Jen, thanks for coming back and joining us again today. Really appreciate it.
So happy to be here.
The pleasure is certainly mine. And guys, like I said, she's been on the show in the past. If you missed that episode, it's dizruns.com/327. Probably, possibly still in most podcast feeds or most podcast apps right now. If you scroll back through, usually there's a 150 to 200, something like that cap on it. But if it's 200, we got you covered. You can still find it dizruns.com/327. And on the Twitter, if you want to connect with Jen and haven't done so already, that's definitely the best place. And it's at Prairie Jen, PRAIRIEJENN. Is the spelling on Jen. It's two N's. Don't forget the second N or you won't be finding the right person. But at Prairie Jen on the Twitter, dizruns.com/327 for the whole past story, all of how she got into running, because I don't know that we'll get into a whole lot of that again today. But all of that stuff can be found there in the show notes for today. We'll have everything linked up as per usual, dizruns.com/507. So Jen, you've been here, you've listened to more than just a couple episodes. You know the first question, and you probably also can anticipate that I'm probably going to throw a little curveball at you, because I got a feeling that your answer is going to be pretty much the same for the opening question as it was last time, but I'm still going to ask it just to make sure that I'm not assuming something that is no longer true. So here we go. What is your favorite distance to race and why?
It's a marathon. And I can say that a lot more enthusiastically this time, because I finally feel after 10 of them that it loves me back. So yeah, I love the marathon. Hands down.
So that's the secret. You got to get to double digits before you might have it figured out a little bit.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Or I'm a slow learner. Maybe somebody else would get to it faster. But yeah, well, for me, it took 10.
That gives me hope because I feel like I think I'm at nine plus an ultra and Lord knows how many half. So maybe that 10th one will be the breakthrough for me as well, where it's like, now I finally figured this thing out after doing it, 10 times.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks. Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed. Yeah, definitely. So I figured that was going to be the answer. That was the same as it was before. But like you said, maybe a little bit more enthusiastic this time. But so curveball time then. What is a race distance that you really don't care to ever run again if you had your choice?
I was thinking about this one. Everything shorter than a half, I kind of hate equally, I think. But it's just because it just hurts too much, you mm-hmm. know? I would have to say my least favorite is the 10K, because it's that nasty mix of you got to run hard. But it hurts for even longer than the 5K, you know, right? You run a 5K and you run hard, but you know, you're going to be done. Whereas a 10K, like you're kind of out there for a bit. So that one, but hurting the whole time. So I would, 10K, I don't really ever need to run another 10K, I don't think.
Yeah, I mean, you know where I stand. I'll take the 10K over the 5K, but you're right. I mean, the last time that I really raced a 10K, like it is a tough distance, and that you do pretty much hurt the whole time, just like with the 5K. But yeah, it's twice as long, so it's twice as much hurt that you have to deal with. So
Huge respect to people that race that all the time, because it's tough.
Yeah, it really, really, truly is. So there's no sense in beating around the bush too much, I don't think, to get this thing started today with I think what's probably going to be the bulk of the conversation today, and that's all things related to Boston. So I would love if we could to go back, you know, as this is recording and being released, we're doing a rapid turnaround, which not everybody needs to know about that, but it's going to be out quickly, right towards the end of 2017. A year ago, I remember putting up a post in the Facebook group, you know, asking me what are your running goals? What are the goals for the new year, for 2017? And many, you know, lots of people chimed in, and yours stands out probably because I went back and referenced a little bit, did my research beforehand. But, just like I said in the intro, that you're going to do whatever you could to see about possibly qualifying this year. And when we talked last time, which was a little over a year ago in October of 2016, the goal was, you know, that 2018 was going to maybe be the year to BQ. And we sped that process up a little bit. But where were you mentally as it relates to qualifying for Boston? I mean, obviously that was the goal, was to do what you could, do the work and see what happens.
Yeah.
But, at the start of 2017, where were you on the timeline of, I think this is a possibility, to it's everything has to go perfect, to there's no way in hell? Where on that possible range or so were you?
Oh, it's hard to say, you know. If I'm being honest, I don't know that in my heart of hearts I really believed that I could do it. I always had it as a goal, and I really wanted to. And I was thinking about it as well. If I don't have it in me to qualify, trying to qualify is going to get me to my absolute best, right? So if it's not in the genetic cards for me to run that fast, well, that's okay. Because if I train like I'm going to run that fast, then we're going to do really well. We're going to get as close to that genetic potential as we can. So, going into 2017, but I mean, maybe there was, I would say like 1% of me thought, well, like maybe we can do this, right? So in 2016, I ran 4:04 at Twin Cities, and my BQ time is 3:55. So anybody that's been following the last couple of years, you know, it's not quite enough to run the BQ standard, right? You're going to have to get under that. But, you know, 4:04, like, I could see it from there. It's like, well, it's not that far away. It's not, you know, 45 minutes away from my BQ time. And so to do it in, you know, a year or two, like maybe that's reasonable. There was a time in my life where I thought, running a marathon at all was an insane goal. So, so to set an insane goal like that, that was okay. So when I thought about your question about, you know, what are your goals? I thought, well, I can control what I can control. I can't control the weather. I can't control a lot of other things. I can just control how I train and how I prepare. And if it's in the cards for me to do it, then it'll happen. But I'm not going to worry about, I'm not going to put so much pressure on myself for the outcome as much as I am for just doing the work, because I knew I could control that every day.
Yeah, I want to dig into that a bit more, because I think that that's something that a lot of us, and I might be guilty of this as well, forget, or we know, but we have a hard time distinguishing between the work put in and the end results. And it's something that I've talked with folks a few times about this, because I think it's important. But one thing that I do want to remind everybody, or just make sure to mention before we get too deep here, is that you are a client of mine. So this isn't supposed to be some big commercial for me, but just in case, you know, there's a little bit of extra knowledge that I probably have of the process as we go through. So if I skip a step, please, you know, you, Jen, please fill in the gaps if I'm jumping over something that seems important here. But so like you said, the goal was, I'm going to do what I can do, because there's so many things that you can't control, which we all, like I said, we all kind of know that on, I think intuitively, we all know that. But when at the end of the day, so many of us as runners, for better, or I would argue probably for worse, measure ourselves by the race day standard. So was that something that you had already overcome, of having this mindset of, I'm going to do the best I can, and you know, I'm going to control what I can control, and the things that are outside of my control, like, you know, for lack of a better way to say it, there's nothing you can do about it. Or was that something that's been a struggle for you to get to that point? Because like I said, so many runners are still struggling to get to that level of separating the results from doing the work.
No, it was still, it was a huge struggle for me. And when I said that at the beginning of the year, I was, it was a goal to be able to do that, because I had been so attached to the outcomes. I'm no different than anybody else in that way. It was a goal for the year, for sure, to put a little bit less pressure on myself. Because, you know, if you show up on race day, you do all the work, and, you know, it's 25 or 30 degrees Celsius and 100% humidity or 95% humidity, well, you know, it's probably not going to happen that day, and there's nothing you can do about that, right? So, again, like you said, I did get that at some level. I had that intellectually, but I hadn't really gotten all the way there with it yet.
So at that point, you weren't there yet. Has that changed? And maybe, you know, is it a hindsight 2020 type of situation where maybe having the BQ makes it easier to say that you've changed, or how is that mindset shifted in the last 12 months?
Well, you know, I was really lucky. So I read Matt Fitzgerald's book, How Bad Do You Want It? And that was what a great book, right? And that helped a little bit. But I was actually really fortunate to get connected with a sports psychologist. She was interviewed. There was an article in the paper about her. I work at a university, and she had worked with one of our student athletes who had done really well at the national level. And there was an article about the two of them, and I really felt like the mental piece of running marathons was my biggest challenge. I wasn't, I was doing the work, and then I would get so nervous on race day, and so sort of focused on how is this going to go, and am I going to let people down, and all of that kind of stuff, that I wasn't having any fun, and then I wasn't performing well. So, I looked up this sports psychologist and ended up seeing her a couple of times, and she just gave me some really, really great tools that helped me a lot.
Well, let's not leave everybody hanging. Are there any tools that we can talk about for, I mean, you know, and everybody listening knows that's an area that I struggle with, and I'm certainly taking steps to try to improve upon, but for others that are in the same boat, what are some of those tools, maybe, if we can get into that?
Yeah, for sure. So one of the things that she said right away, so I saw her not too long after I ran my spring marathon. And maybe I'll just back up a step. So I ran the Manitoba Marathon in June, and really put a lot of pressure on myself. The training had gone well. The weather was going to be great. It's often hot on that day, and it's often the first hot Sunday we've had, of course, right? Like nobody's used to it. Nobody's acclimatized. It's been a cool spring. And then all of a sudden race day is the first hot day. And this year was an exception. The weather was going to be perfect. I wasn't injured. Like everything was great. I went to the expo. I saw a bunch of people and everybody was saying, oh my God, you know, Sunday, it's going to be your day. It's going to be your day. And I had a friend who had been to Boston and brought me back a little unicorn and gave it to me at the expo. And it was wonderful to have the support. But I really kind of let that get into my head a little bit. And then on race day, I lined up and it was cold and it was raining, which I usually actually like running in those conditions. But then I was worried about what I was wearing and thinking about all these people that were saying, oh, this is going to be your day and you're going to qualify for Boston. And I had a rough day out there. I started to hurt a little bit, about 10 miles in. And then all I could think about was, oh my goodness, it's not going to happen. And I'm letting people down and all of that training for nothing. And just beating myself up, ended up, well, and mile 19, I had been sort of feeling sorry for myself for a good 9 miles or so. And my sort of B goal was like the A goal was Boston, which was sub 3:55. The B goal was break 4 hours. Mm. My previous PR was 4:04. So break 4 hours was kind of, you know, 3:59:59 was the B goal. And at mile 19, the 4 hour bunny passed me like I was standing still. Mm. Oh my God. And so that beat me up. And now I'm really feeling sorry for myself and dragging ass and, running along and then saw a really supportive volunteer, about mile 23. He was right in the middle of the road. He had a giant sign and he read my name off my bib and said, you know, way to go, Jennifer, you're looking great. And I said, you're an awesome liar. And he said, and you're an awesome athlete. And in that moment, like to be called an athlete when you've been feeling sorry for yourself and beating yourself up because you're not running well and was just, oh, it was just what I needed. And so I was like, okay, well, just, you know, dig deep, Jen, here. Like if we, you know, we haven't had a great 23 miles, but maybe we can have a little bit of fun for the last 3 miles. So I turned my music up and, you know, found something and got myself going again. And then looked at my watch and realized, wait a second, like I have plenty of time here. I maybe could break 4 hours. Mm. So I ran as hard as I could for those last 2 miles. I really pushed, and I came into the stadium and I crossed the finish line and I looked at my watch and my time was 4 hours flat. And I was so gutted. I one measly second, right? Like if I hadn't high-fived that one kid, I 4 hours, it just, I was so upset, so disappointed, which was crazy because it was a almost five minute PR.
Right.
Because I had it in my head that, you know, people were expecting me to run 3:50 something, you know, to run 4 hours. I was really gutted. So all of that to say, I was like, okay, well, I think the biggest piece here is the mental piece. And so I got in touch with Adrian, the sports psychologist.
Okay. I'm going to cut off just for a second there. Coming out of that race, what was the mindset? Like, again, obviously maybe a little bit feeling like maybe you let some folks down. I think we definitely get that impression, but as far as your performance went, were you down on yourself? Were you able to go, hey, it was still a five minute or almost 5 minute PR. You know, where were you mentally about your performance on that spring race before you went to see the sports psychologist?
No, I was really down on myself. I mean, at some level, you know, I was, if I'm being honest, like at some level intellectually, it's like, yeah, okay, it's a 5 minute PR. That's, you know, I was over the moon about 4:04, but I'm totally bummed about 4 hours flat. Like that's
and so I think I know this because a little bit of inside information. But if you would have been 3:59:59, would you have been still sulky, or would that have been just? I mean, would that have been great?
I think it would have been okay.
Okay.
But I don't think the fall race would have been nearly as sweet if I had been at 3:59:59 in June. So I think that's okay. In retrospect, right? Hindsight being 20/20 and a little bit of time, but no, I was really bummed about that race, which is crazy. I know that like a 4 hour marathon is awesome. A 5 minute PR is huge, but, no, I was pretty down about it.
So then you go to see the sports psychologist, and what does she help you with? How does that, you know, what were some of those tools and exercises that she gave you to help work on that side of your performance, your game, for lack of a better way of saying it, the mental game that you worked on?
Well, so the first thing out of her mouth was, okay, you got to let this Boston thing go, which was, right. And she said, it's okay to have that in the back of your mind. But if your only measure of success is I qualified for Boston or I didn't qualify for Boston, like that's way too much pressure. So that was okay. So then where do we go? Right. And then she started telling me about some of the other athletes that she works with and really talking about process. So, she was talking about, I think it was a weightlifter that, you know, that was a world champion. And it wasn't, well, they said, how did you train to become a world champion? You know, the media asked her. And she said, well, I didn't train to become a world champion. I trained every day to go in and have great technique and to lift a little bit more. And that was sort of the beginning of this conversation about process versus outcome. So if you take care of the process, the outcome comes. And she showed me a video of Simon Whitfield speaking. Simon Whitfield's Canadian triathlete. He was the very first Olympic gold medalist. He went to Sydney in 2000 and won the gold in the triathlon. And he talked about in this talk, it was wonderful. He talked about how when he went to his first Olympics, he was just so excited to be there, right? He was like, he couldn't believe, oh my God, I'm at the Olympics and I'm wearing a shirt that says Canada across it. And he's looking around at the start line and there's all these stars that have been idols of his and holy smokes, I get to race with these people. And he ended up winning the gold, which of course was the ultimate goal, but he really enjoyed the experience. And he contrasted that with 2004 going to the Olympics and all he could think about was defending. You know, I've got to win again. I've got to defend my title. And he didn't perform well and he got home and realized, oh my goodness, I missed the Olympics.
Right.
You know, he didn't have the experience and that really resonated with me. And so going into the fall race, it was like, you know what, I'm just going to go to Hamilton, which is where the race was. I'm just going to go to Hamilton and be a marathoner. I'm just going to experience it. And so the little things she had me do, so the practicals here, a couple of things. So she, you know, I get very anxious before races. I'm really nervous, don't sleep well, all that stuff. Probably sound familiar to a lot of people. And so she said, I said, you know, I don't want to be nervous. And she said, well, too bad. you're going to be nervous. You've worked really hard for this. Of course you're going to be nervous. It would be weird if you weren't. So what I want you to do is get nervous sooner. And so she had me set a timer on my phone, 20 minutes, and you're going to sit down and that's your designated worry time, which I laughed when she said that. I'm like, okay, I'm going to cram all of this into 20 minutes a day and every day and just sit down and you timer and you start to write and you write down all the stuff you're worried about. You write down all your what ifs, you just write it all down. And then when the timer goes, you're done. And at first I was a little resistant. I thought, well, I'm just going to get myself all worked up and this is going to make it worse. And there's no way I can fit all my worrying into 20 minutes. And you know what? You totally can. And it's actually it's a little harder. And so a couple of things happened with that is that as I wrote down the things that I was worried about, it was like part of my brain was fixing it as I wrote it down. So like, I'm worried that I'm going to miss the shuttle to the start. Well, as I'm writing that, I'm thinking, well, then you'll call an Uber. Like, this is not right. This is what a silly thing to be worried about. And so I wrote, you know, I'm worried that I'm going to get 2 miles into the race and be too tired to keep running. Well, that's ridiculous. I've never been too tired after 2 miles. So it really helped. And so by the time the day of the race rolled around, there was some nasty weather that we were getting. There was lightning in the area. The race organizers sent out a message the night before saying, you know, we're going to make the call in the morning, so please come. Mm-hmm. And normally that really would have freaked me out. And we were getting ready. And Kevin, my partner, said, you know, we might not be running today. And I said, yeah, I know. And I was okay with that because I can't control that. So I'm not going to worry about it. So that was a huge one.
So, okay. So I love that. So just writing down all the things you're worried about, recognizing that most of them are either out of your control or things that there's a pretty easy fix for, even if it doesn't go exactly as you had planned to begin with.
Yeah. And when you've got it in your head, it makes perfect sense, mm-hmm. right? It's a totally rational thing to be worried about, but somehow when you write it down, it's wow. You see it for what it really is.
Right. Right. Other ones? Or is that the big one?
That was a big one. And then as far as the race plan, so you had given me my race plan. You know, we talked about it. And so we're going to do this pace for the first 3 miles, and then we're going to drop it to race pace. And then when we get to about 22, we're going to drop the hammer, right? Mm-hmm. That was sort of the plan. And so I brought her that plan, and she liked all of it, except the, okay, and then when you get to mile 22, drop the hammer. She said, you know, mile 22 is a little bit different. How about when you get to mile 22, be the best runner you can be? Mm-hmm. And I thought, well, and actually, if you think about it, that's really, it's kind of the same thing.
Right.
Right. But framing it as I'm going to be the best runner I can be, somehow it took the pressure off, like, oh my God, and then I'm going to have to run even faster, or I'm going to have to, you know, try to hit a certain pace. So be the best runner I could be at mile 22. So that was another really good way to look at it. And then I just stayed, you know, when I thought about 3:55, that was scary and impossible and intimidating. But when I thought about, okay, well, an 8:50 mile, well, I know I can run an 8:50 mile. So we'll just think about 8:50 miles and worry about what the time on the clock says when we get there.
Yeah. And I think that's a great thing to for me to keep in mind for future race plans for folks is that, you know, when you get to those later stages in a race, you know, in the back of your mind, what pace you're trying to get to or what you need to do to continue to reach the goal. But I mean, at mile 22, mile 23 of a marathon, like, you don't know how you're going to be feeling. So yeah, it's like, you know, things could be going great, or, you know, maybe more often than not, things are hurting and you're not feeling good. And maybe you're, you know, like you were at Winnipeg having a little bit of a pity party, and it's like, all right, well, I just need to be the best I can be right now. And if that's not at the pace that I need or want, you know, I just have to, again, control what you can control. You may not be able to control how fast you can run anymore at that point, 'cause you're tired, your GI issues, whatever the case might be. But just what can you do to be the best you can be right now and hit that and continue to hit that for the last 3 or 4 miles? And, you know, at that point, you did the best you could. And that's all we can really ask of ourselves at any point in any race.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Good stuff. I'm going to school right now. I love this.
I know, right? She was, it was great. It was amazing.
So I was thinking, oh, go ahead.
Yeah,
go ahead. No.
No, I was also thinking about Matt Fitzgerald's book, right? The book is called How Bad Do You Want It? And he tells a story in there about, you know, being in a race and how bad do you want it? And he was telling a story from his own experience of how bad do you want it? And his answer was, well, not as bad as that guy. And when I was in the late stages of Hamilton, which is the race where I qualified, I was thinking, okay, how bad do I want it? Do I want it as bad as that guy? Yeah, I want it bad as that guy. Right. That really helped too.
Yeah. Great point. And I'm going to cut in here and pay a couple bills real quick. And I wasn't planning on necessarily doing this one, but you know, How Bad Do You Want It? It is a good book, and it is a book that I got on Audible. And so if you want it for free on Audible, just go to disruns.com/audible, sign up, and you get a free book for forever. You get to keep the free book, and it's a 30-day trial. And if you're like me, you're going to find out that you really love listening to audiobooks. I'm listening to all kinds of stuff all the time. I actually kind of cut into my podcast listening, which I don't know where I stand about that. I don't know how I feel about listening to fewer podcasts, but listening to the audiobooks is a great great thing for me. And it's really not, I mean, it's not any more expensive than just buying books as it is. And y'all know, we all know, we don't read enough books. So dizruns.com/audible if you want to check out How Bad Do You Want It. It is good. It's a good one on Audible too. He does a good job. He reads it himself, and it's a good performance. But the official sponsor today, the official Bill Payne plug that I have to do, is for Health IQ. And we've been talking about Health IQ quite a bit in the last month. And as I've said before, and as I'll say again, it's not the most exciting topic to talk about. You know, do you need to get life insurance? But you know, we all have various needs and financial responsibilities. And if something were to happen to you, if you know, we don't need to go on into all the depth of what could happen, but that's always the possibility. And if that were to happen, do you have the right amount of life insurance coverage to you know, help provide for those that are still here? And if you're in the market, if you need to add a little bit more life insurance to your portfolio, Health IQ does a great job because they work with life insurance companies, life insurance providers, to give better rates to healthier people. And as runners, we qualify. So if you want to check out more information, get more details, and find out exactly what kind of rates you might be entitled to or be able to receive as a part of, you know, going through Health IQ, head over to healthiq.com/dizruns. That way it gives a little plug to the show, gives them a little idea of you know, is the advertising dollars, is it leading to inquiries, which helps them out, helps me out, helps everybody out. So healthiq.com/dizruns. And thanks again to Health IQ for continuing to support the show and sponsoring episodes as we go. So you did all this work, Jen, and you know, working on the mindset. Obviously, there was a whole lot of training that was going on as well, and you know, that was the part that I was most privy to was how are things going? How is the training process going? And if memory serves, there were a little bit of ups and downs, and in part because I was a little bit confused on what pace we needed to run to get to get to that Boston qualifying time. I had one number in my mind for, and I don't know exactly how it got there. And you were a good client going, all right, well, we'll try to do this. And then at one point you finally said, like, why are we making this the target when, you know, I can be a handful of seconds slower, and it made all the difference. How was the training process going for you? Despite the fact that your coach was a yutz that gave you the wrong numbers for a little bit there, but we got that straightened out, thankfully, before the race. But, leading up to the race, the training process, ups, downs, like, you know, how obviously we don't have to have every detail, but, In correlation with seeing the sports psychologist and then in the training, how did that process play out?
Yeah. And I mean, the training was a huge part of it too. So I had actually forgotten about that pace thing. That's funny. That was only, it was only a couple of runs. It was okay. It was early on. It was good to push myself a little bit. The training was great. So this is our third marathon together, I think. And we really, we cranked it up a little bit this time, and it was awesome. I managed to stay healthy, which is huge. I had a lot of strength training in my life this year, which I think after a certain age becomes more, I thought you can sort of get away with just running when you're younger, but, this side of 40, I think, strength training, at least for me, is not optional. So that was part of it. But then, the training itself, I had, and this is a compliment. This is totally a compliment. You put at least one workout on my plan every single week that scared the bejesus out of me. Every week, Monday, I would look at my Wednesday workout the following week and think, he is nuts. There's no way I can do that. And then I'd wake up on Wednesday. I was like, okay, here we go. Every single Wednesday, just about, I mean, every single Wednesday I went out and tried to do the workout, mm-hmm. and every single Wednesday I pretty much did it. You know, there's the odd bad workout here and there, but by and large, I kind of kept surprising myself. He kept on giving me scary stuff and I kept on doing scary stuff. And so it was great. The mileage was a little bit higher than I've ever done. I think we peaked out somewhere in the mid 50s per week, something like that, miles. So yeah, the training was awesome.
Good. You know, and again, kind of where I was trying to get to that was, did you notice the any difference during training for this race, for the Hamilton race, the one where you ended up PQing, as opposed to the earlier ones where we worked together, that wasn't so much maybe because of stuff that I did, but the mindset shift. Was that coming into play yet, or was that more stuff that really made a difference on race day itself?
I hadn't thought about that, but no, I think it did. I think it was part of it. Because I never gave up, right? Like, and again, it was the process. So, okay, so today I've got a, you know, I don't mind intervals, but tempos. It goes back to why I hate the 10K, right? Like, oh man, okay. So this morning, I just think tempos to me, it just feels like, okay, well, let's just go out and practice suffering for 45 minutes, right? Like that's kind of, well, really, but that's what it is, right? Like you're just going to go do something that's hard and you're just going to keep on doing that thing. Whereas with an interval, you kind of get a little break in there. Just so, okay, well, here we go, tempo run. And so, I would just think, okay, well, we'll just do this mile. We'll just do this 8-minute mile, and then we'll just do this 750 mile, and, you know, and just kind of hang in there and do 1 mile at a time. Absolutely. It was, that was sort of, it was a bit of a theme this year, this process versus outcome. Yeah. It helped a lot.
Good. And that's kind of, I mean, not that I was hoping that you would say something, but that was, you know, something I hadn't asked you before, but I was hoping that did play into things beyond just on race day. Now, obviously, the mental side on race day is a huge piece. But like we've said kind of all along, that process continues to play out. You know, just what can you control? You know, I can control my effort on today's workout. Maybe I can't hit the number that I'm trying to hit to. Maybe I can't, you know, whatever. But I'm going to control the effort and see what happens. You know, that's an important thing to remember that you know, again, it's not all just about race day. It's the process leading up to it. And what can you control? You know. And just give that effort all the time.
Yep.
Or not give the effort, or take the days off when you're supposed to, or run easy when you're supposed to, all of those things.
Yeah. No, and I love the training, and I've always loved the training. You know, I love having a plan. I get really excited on Mondays where it's like, oh yes, like new plan. How many miles am I going to get? And you know, what's he going to throw at me for my long run and all that stuff. I loved the training aspect I always have. But yeah, this year it was something special.
So fast forward a little bit to, you know, the training process and obviously the race went well, went real well. You made it there. You got the number, and I can't remember the official time. So remind us, you know, what was the official, finish time?
It was 3:52:34.
So kind of right on that line, like you mentioned earlier about, you know, you BQ for Boston and then you actually have a time that's fast enough to get you in. So like we're right at that gray area, but you know, what has the emotion or what has the thought process been like from you know, probably it was a bit crazy. I know it was a bit crazy at the finish line, but you know, in the month and a half since then, like, has it set in that you qualified? And not only did, I mean, you know, we can joke or say that you squeaked, but that's, you know, squeaking to me is, you know, I made it by a few seconds. Like, I mean, that's a substantial BQ of a couple of minutes, you know, 2.5 minutes almost. You know, what has that, what does that feel like? I mean, something I obviously have no idea what it feels like to BQ. So for those of us that are in my boat, what does it feel like to have, you know, set this big goal, worked your ass off to get there and you know, hit it?
It's still sinking in. I'm going to try to talk about this without crying, but it doesn't happen very often. It's still sinking in. I can't believe it happened. I can't believe it happened. 8-minute PR and a BQ, like, I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed. It's still sinking in. It doesn't feel real yet.
That's it's all good. If there's not much to it, there's not much to it. I'm not going to try to squeeze something out of the stone that isn't there. But you know, as I've said before, is lots of folks have told you. I mean, it's awesome. You know, congratulations. It's super exciting. And you know, we've got a little bit of time to try to. And I know that's the goal for 2018, to try to bump that down just a little bit more, so that there's no real holding the breath moments when it's time to submit for 2019. Cause that's when you'd be able to, you know, for your qualifying time is good for 2019. Yeah. So, we got a little time to try to improve upon it and hope that, you know, when it's go time, like, it's not even a concern of whether or not you're going to squeeze. Cause right now we are right on the line.
Yeah, for sure. And that doesn't, for me, it doesn't take anything away from it. Yeah, absolutely. If we can, you know, shave a little bit off that, in Fargo in the spring, that'll be great. But I'll never forget that moment. I'll just never forget it. I wasn't thinking about the finish line until the very end. Like, I really was. I was running 1 mile at a time. When I got to mile 24, I looked at my watch and was like, man, I think this is happening today. Didn't want to get too far ahead of myself, because we all know, you know, those last 2 miles, anything can happen, right? Mm-hmm. You start cramping up and now you're walking and no, it's not happening today. But the end, the last 6 miles of Hamilton are sort of an out and back along the shore of Lake Ontario. It's Pancake Flat on a nicer day. I'm sure it's beautiful. On the day that I ran, the wind and the water were so loud that I actually had to turn my music up because I couldn't hear it. So, that was a bit of a distraction, but yeah, I got to mile 24 and it was like, yeah, I think this is going to happen. And I was the best runner I could be. And the very end of the race, you get, like, with about 200 meters to go, there's essentially like a pretty sharp U-turn. So you run past the finish line. It's on the other side of the tree, so you can't see it, but you run past this finish line and do a hard right turn and then another hard right turn. And you can see the finish line. And, we had our race plan at that point, I believe your exact words were just something F and go.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, right. And I turned that corner and I saw 3:52 on the clock and I heard your voice in my head, like, just F and go. And I just F and went. Mm-hmm. And that was the first time where I realized, like, I am doing this today. Like, this is really happening. And normally I'm pretty quiet at a finish line. I'm not like a big celebration person, usually at the finish line. And I got into that chute and I just started screaming Boston. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go to Hamilton to qualify. It's a great course to qualify on. And a lot of really smart runners. Everybody was running tangents. Like, there was a lot of people there that knew what they were doing and were there to qualify. So I knew I probably had some pretty educated spectators in that those final few hundred meters. And I screamed Boston over and over again for the last 100 meters. It was I'll take that day to my grave. It was incredible. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's awesome. And like you said, still settling in, still yeah, processing it, and probably will be for many more months, which is fantastic. I mean, you know, and all of us, I think, whether Boston's a goal or not, like, when you set that a big goal, running or otherwise, you set something big out there and you work, like, when it gets there, like, it's awesome. But yeah, it takes a little bit to completely wrap your head around it and appreciate not just that day, but the months and years that went into making that day a possibility.
Totally, right? Like, even your first marathon is like that.
Yeah.
Right? Like, could you get over yourself after you ran your first marathon? Like, I ran a damn marathon. Like,
I was questioning my sanity. Why the hell did I run a damn marathon?
What is wrong with me? Exactly.
Right,
yeah.
Right. So shifting gears a little bit. I mean, we've been basically talking about Boston, which, as everybody knows, and as you know, I could talk about Boston continuously for days, and I've never even been there. I've never even experienced it, but it's something that I certainly want to do, and we'll get there at some point. But another thing that you did in 2017 that's a little different than was a nice little break, I think, at least from where I stood, working together and seeing how things kind of played out. But you and Kev came down to Florida to run a little half marathon at Disney World, which I believe was your first Disney race. For somebody who's been who's run several races at that point before running a Disney race, what was the Disney experience of running a race like for you?
Oh man, yeah, that was crazy. So that was Kevin's first half marathon. He said, okay, well, I'm going to do this, but I get to pick the race. Like, okay. And that's totally Kevin's style. Kevin doesn't do anything sort of half-assed. So he's like, okay, we're going to Disney World. Like, okay, we can do that. So yeah, we came down for the Star Wars half. Holy smoke. So biggest race I had ever been in up until that point was probably Twin Cities Marathon, which gets, I think, about 12,000 in the marathon, something like that. So that was the biggest field that I'd ever run in. So to go to Disney World and what, 25,000?
Yeah, ish, something like that. It's pretty darn close.
Unbelievable. But, you know, one of the things, like, I think something that one of the things that Disney does better than anybody is move giant groups of people, right? Like it's so, how efficient the start was, like the corrals and the signage and every, like, unbelievable how well that worked. And then just the incredible, I mean, you're at Disney World, right? Like the totally immersive experience of it was awesome. We ran the Star Wars Dark Side, and you're running along this like back road in the dark kind of thing. And we heard all this commotion and we figured it was just like the usual photo shoot at the mile markers kind of stuff going on. But then we got closer and it's like, this sounds like a battle going on. And we come around the corner and sure enough, there's like green lasers coming out of the woods on the right and red lasers coming out of the woods on the left. And it was like, oh my God, we're going to run through the middle of a battle here. And they had like sound effects in the woods. And so, yeah, it was a blast. And then of course too, you know, and then through the parks and all the support and seeing you on the course was really cool. And, but then to see Kevin run his very first half marathon and to be beside him the whole time and have like the best possible front row seat for that moment when he crossed his first finish line was, yeah, it was amazing.
So it sounds like you would be one that would recommend a Disney race for somebody, especially for a first timer. It's a pretty good environment to do that.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, it's definitely not a place where you want to go. You know, if you want to run fast, mm-hmm. then, you know, it's probably not your first choice. But yeah, it was a lot of fun. We made a holiday of it. And yeah, it was a blast. Now, you know, you're setting the bar pretty high, right? Like, this is his first experience. Like, how do I tell him that they're not, this is quite how it all always happens. But yeah, no, it was a lot of fun. Great, great experience for a first timer for sure.
Yeah, good. And it was definitely cool when y'all came around the corner where I was and you know, I was about a mile or so, maybe a mile and a half from the finish line. So it was,
okay.
It was maybe a little bit, but I was definitely past, I know I was past the 11 mile mark. I don't know if I was at the 12 mile yet or not, but, it was cool to just kind of see everybody at that point, because I think at that point that almost like you said it for your race in Hamilton, where like, you know, like at some point you realize like, all right, like this is going to happen. And I, again, I'm not at the point where it's the finish line yet, but it's like, you know, you see a lot of people at that point where that have been struggling or that have, you know, it was getting kind of warm at a few points on that day. So it's like, all right, like we're getting close. I can see the Epcot ball. I think maybe that was why people were smiling. They could see the Epcot ball. And that was where the finish line was. So you still had a little bit of work to get there, but at least the quote unquote finish line was almost in sight at that point, which is always a relief for any runner. You know, it's ready for the race to be over.
Well, and we had some great support. So when we came into Epcot, Kevin had a Canada hat and I had a hat with a maple leaf on it. Mm-hmm. And we came into Epcot and there was a massive contingent from the Canadian pavilion,
right?
Like right there with a giant Canadian flag. And so they saw us and just went crazy, which was so great. So Kevin and I had our own, they ignored everybody else. It was just all about us for there for a minute. So that was great. We actually ended up going back later on that day and thanking them for the support, because it was just at the perfect time. So yeah, that was awesome too.
Yeah, that's, you know, I've said several times, Disney races, they're different. They're unique than anything else. So some people, they're great. Some people it's, I don't know, not so much. And I'm probably kind of somewhere in the middle. They have their pros and their cons and it's a fun thing to do. So, if you're a Star Wars fan, you know, it's a good opportunity.
Oh,
if you're just a Disney fan in general, you know, maybe it's something that you want to add to the list as well. But if not, you know, whatever, there's no shortage of races. So whatever, with different strokes for different folks, if it lights you up, then give it a shot.
Yeah, we had a blast.
Good deal. Good deal. So as we're wrapping up here, Jen, philosophical question, and I'm going to actually go off of the normal list of four or five questions that I usually pick something from and actually kind of reference back to our first chat from, you know, whenever it was October, I think of 2016. Yeah. I was listening to it before our call today. And, one of the things that you said stood out to me, and I said, oh, that's, I'm going to ask that. And then I thought, wait a minute, I'm going to make that the philosophical question and see how it goes. But you talked before about one of the reasons that you like the marathon and even kind of referenced it a little bit today, that it's something that you're trying to figure it out and learn something from every race. And like you said, you know, the 10th one, things finally started to click, but what I'm going to ask is that, what did you learn about the marathon specifically, but I mean, this can probably relate to anybody running any race, but what did you learn about the marathon that, or what did the marathon teach you? I think maybe is the way I want to ask it. What did the marathon teach you this year that you'll be able to use going forward? Because that's something that you, like I said, you've enjoyed before, or you've said before that I learned something from every marathon, and it always learns something, and it helps me in the next race or the next phase of your running. What did you learn about that particular race this year that maybe can spring you to even you know, greater success, whatever we're going to define that as for 2018 and beyond?
Oh boy. what did I learn from the marathon? Well, I mean, the biggest change, and I say this with respect because I think you always have to respect distance. I'm not afraid. I respect the distance, but I'm not afraid of the distance. Like I used to be. So I'm not lining up really the concern about, am I going to finish, isn't top of mind anymore. I always line up pretty sure I can finish. And I'm saying this like, don't anger the marathon gods by saying that out loud, because, you know, anything can happen in 26 miles. But I think really the proof was in the pudding in Hamilton, that this idea of, you know, and I knew, you know, I had heard run the mile you're in, right? That's, but I really experienced how transformative that can be in Hamilton, that you really do have to just stay where your feet are and just take it 1 mile at a time and deal with problems as they come up, and you don't have to make them up. You don't have to worry about stuff that hasn't happened yet. When it happens, you'll deal with it. And I think that's the biggest thing was just, you really need to stay present, and you need to do the work, right? You gotta prepare your body. But, but that was the biggest lesson this year for sure, is just 1 mile at a time. And the outcome will take care of itself.
Yeah, that's a great one. And another one of those lessons that running teaches us that probably, and by probably, I mean almost definitely, bleeds into every other area of life as well. Take care of where you are right now. Don't worry about what might happen, because it may or may not happen. If you spend too much time worrying about it, you're just wasting energy and wasting anxiety and stress and all that kind of stuff. So run the mile you're in. Well, I love it.
And we do this for fun, right? Isn't this supposed to be fun? You know, that you have a lot more fun if you just have the experience as opposed to worrying about all the things that could possibly go wrong.
Yeah, that's great, great icing on the cake right there. I love that. And another beautiful reminder that I think we all know, but it's easy to lose sight of sometimes or forget that, yeah, this is fun. So keep it enjoyable. I love it, Jen. Thanks for that, those pearls of wisdom. Hopefully there'll be things that we all can remember on race day or, you know, the next time we're working towards one of those big goals. Again, guys, as we're wrapping up, at Prairie Jen with two N's on the Twitters, disruns.com/507 for the show notes for this episode. And if you missed our first chat, it's from episode 327. You can go back and get the backstory and kind of find out how we got to where we started today and now where we're wrapping things up. So, Jen, thank you once again for taking the time today. Maybe a little bit more practical tips this time than happens a lot of times, but I think that's great, and hopefully some things that all of us, myself certainly included, can learn from and you know, implement and use to make 2018 and beyond you know, maybe a even more successful, positive year in whatever distances we're racing. So thanks for the time. Congratulations once again on the BQ, and so looking forward to seeing what 2018 has in store for you. So again, take care and nothing but the best, my dear.
Thanks, Danny. Thank you for everything.
All right, guys, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to today's episode of the show. I hope you enjoyed the conversation between Jen and myself. And as always, I'd be curious to know what stood out to you from this episode. What was your takeaway? What was that thing that we talked about today that that made you stop and scratch your head for a second, or made you go back and hit the rewind button to hear it again to make sure you had the full context? For me, there were a few things, but I think it comes back to that, and I mentioned this when we were chatting, to that whole idea of being the best runner that you can be. And obviously, we talked about that in relation to those last few miles of Jen's marathon where she ended up BQing. But I think that maybe is something that even broader than just that, that we need to remember to be the best runner that we can be at every time. And, you know, whether we're training, whether we're racing, you know, don't get caught up in what everybody else is doing. Don't get caught up worrying about, you know, what's this going to look like on Strava or on Garmin Connect, but just be the best runner you can be. And, you know, like we kind of intimated there a couple times as well, you know, that might mean going really hard, going as hard as you can, but maybe it's not the pace that you were targeting for a certain workout or for a race. Maybe that also means backing off. Maybe that also means treating your easy days as easy. You know, running a slow pace, running a recovery pace, as opposed to trying to go a little bit faster than you're supposed to, which means that you're not getting those recovery benefits that you desire. You know, maybe that means taking a day off. Maybe that means getting a little extra sleep, doing the yoga, doing the foam rolling, doing the strength training like Jen talked about. You know, being the best runner that you can be each day, each moment, translates beyond just while you're running. It's beyond just the step and the mile you're in, which those things are important. But, you know, if you've got a big goal, if there's something that you're really working towards, how can you be making progress towards that all the time? And again, that relates to sleeping, what you're eating, you know, the paces that you're running, the workouts you're doing, all of those things, be the best you can be at all of them. But in that moment, don't compare yourself to everybody else. Oh, they're better. They're faster. They're stronger. They're more flexible. Just focus on you, focus inward, be the best you can be. And, you know, and keep working at it. And pretty soon that best is going to be a little bit better and a little bit better and a little bit better. And you're going to keep making that progress that you desire. And maybe that ends up at a BQ finish. Maybe that ends up with a new PR or just being healthier, just being, you know, not having injury concerns or whatever it might be. Be better, be the best you can be today. Be a little bit better tomorrow. And that's the recipe for success. It's not easy, but it's not complicated. You know, that the process is difficult, but the prescription is pretty easy. So that was my takeaway from today. What about you? Let me know. Shoot me a tweet at DizRun. Shoot me an email, DizRuns@gmail.com. And as always, you can head over to the show notes for this episode or any episode and leave a comment there. Not only do I see those, but that way other folks can see them as well. And they stand the test of time. So if somebody, you know, I mean, finds this episode 6 months from now and they want to go back and be like, wonder what everybody else took away, because that what Denny said, that whole be the best runner thing you can be, like, yeah, it makes sense, but that wasn't my takeaway. What about other people? Those comments live there, and folks can see those, and we can continue to engage in conversation, you know, months and years sometimes down the line. So that is it for today. Hope that you enjoyed this one. Thanks again to Health IQ. Again, healthiq.com/DizRuns is the link that gives the credit to us here at the show. So that maybe we keep those sponsor dollars rolling. And that's, you know, it's a great way to support the show is helping to support the sponsors. If it's something that you need, obviously if you don't need it, don't support the sponsors in that way. But if it's something that you're looking for and you're like, man, I'd love to support the show as well. That is a good way to do it. So thanks to Health IQ once again. And with that, let's put a bow on this thing, shall we? Hope you have a great rest of the day. Whenever it is you're listening to this, be good, be well, be safe. And we'll talk soon, all right? Until then, please take care, and thanks for listening, guys.